Welcome to the GBC Big Three podcast, a weekly podcast where we sit down and unpack three big questions raised from our Sunday sermon. I'm your host, Matt Willis, and I'm excited to say that joining us for the first time ever on the Big Three this week is none other than musical extraordinaire, the man with the hair, Lex Man Collins. Welcome, Lex. How you going, mate?
Hi, Matt. Thank you for that introduction. I'm at least one of those things.
I disagree. I think you're so much more. So much more. It's great to have you, man.
Good to have you. How are you?
Can't complain. Delightful long weekend.
Yeah.
I'm very sun-kissed.
Good weather.
Delightful. Weirdly, or maybe not weirdly, like I slipped, but you never think to do it on your feet. And so the tops of my feet. Red roar at the moment.
Do you have the thong tan line in there or is
no,
it just bare
no.
feet?
No,
that looks better.
Yeah. Well, does it? I don't know. Just increases the trauma to the skin.
But that's true.
Yeah, no. I'm one of those firm believers that in summer you just don't wear shoes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, which I know is a WHS issue, working at a church and
that's
walking
right.
around here barefoot.
That's right. We should always wear shoes. Is that what we have to say?
I don't know.
We should always wear shoes at church.
But then at the same time, this is holy ground. And so do you take your shoes off?
Oh, gee. Oh. That's another big three.
That's a different podcast.
That's the fourth question.
Well, mate, stoked to have you on board. In a moment, we're going to be joined by Rox Lawler, who preached during our online services this past Sunday. And Lex and I will be putting the big three questions to her as we dive deeper into the invitation from this week's sermon. For those of you who missed it, Roxy spoke about experiencing the revelation of God as part of our series in the Book of Psalms. And you can listen to that message again through our regular GBC Sermons podcast. But for now, Lex, I'm really interested. What were your thoughts coming out of Rox's message on Sunday?
What I really liked about Roxy's message was that she took it as a song as for what it is. So often we read the Psalms and we forget their songs, we forget their it's poetry. But she broke it down as a song, which, you know, you mentioned that I like music, and so I like that she'd split it off into sort of three verses. But my favorite part was that she and I always get excited about this when you get something from the Old Testament or from Psalms and you look at it you look at it through the lens of Jesus, and she did that well. It made me wonder if that's the fourth verse or maybe the chorus. I don't know, but I love that she had sort of said this psalm is talking about, you know, how we can see God in the heavens, how we can see God through the Word, how we can see. I'm trying to remember the three words. Wordless word. Or the written word.
Oh, now
and the God's word, the word of God, the word of God.
Oh,
no?
Yeah.
What was the third one?
I think, yeah.
Oh, that was the fourth one.
Oh gosh, we're terrible people.
Okay. We'll have to ask her when she enters the room.
Do you know what? It was the word of God.
Is that
no,
three?
Worshipper's word.
Worshipper's word.
Worshipper's word. Oh, yeah. My days.
But
we got there.
But yeah, so she broke it off into those, and these are all ways that we sort of experience God. But then, you know, in our AD context, we know that Jesus is the sort of the best way to experience God and to see God. So I love that. And I started thinking to extend the song concept that, you know, Jesus, maybe he's the chorus.
Yeah, nice. I've got to admit, like, speaking about a revelation of God and kind of experiencing him and understanding him and meeting with him and getting to know him, like, this message just started for me a plethora of questions around, well, actually, yeah, like, what does that look like for my life? It's almost an assumed aspect of our Christian walk, but as Rox kind of unpacked, you know, her four words, I was like, yeah, actually, have I been intentional in those spaces? Have I been seeking a revelation of God when I enter into those spaces? I think sometimes I can, you know, it's the classic, what is it? I don't know what I'm trying to say. Complacency breeds contempt. Is that a thing? Yeah, I think that's a thing. I'll say it's a thing.
Definitely a thing.
I'm the one with the microphone. But yeah, so, and I'm like, oh, maybe I've gotten a little bit contempt with seeking out revelations of God in my world. So Yeah, I dug it. I thought she did a cracker of a job.
Yeah, I think, and to go on what you're saying, it was really challenging for me, which I'm sure we'll speak about later, was particularly the second part, the fact that God reveals himself in the law.
Mm.
And you know, we don't hear worship songs about the law of God much these days. Mm. And so I really liked that she mentioned that we, and, you know, this is a compliment to David as well, but, you know, that we see God through his word.
Yeah.
We're particularly through the law. And I thought that was a nice sort of new understanding for me about the law.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sick. Awesome. Well, I think it's time for us to start looking at the three big questions submitted through Slido this week. So Lex, what are our questions for today?
Okay. The first question is a one for us in our context. What are the distractions that believers are facing that end up overwhelming us with noise?
Yeah. Nice.
I think of that analogy that Roxy used with the light pollution with that one and looking at the stars.
Yeah.
Second question, what does it look like to enter a spiritual connection with God where we not only hear but understand his voice?
Yeah, awesome. That's a huge one, I think, for so many people.
Yeah, that's tricky.
Yeah.
We'll see what Roxy says. Ooh. And number three, how do we have the full revelation of God through Jesus when at times our experience of him is not one that we can see, touch, and hear?
Mm.
I think that one's interesting as well because we often say, you know, Jesus was the human version of God, which is nice because we can connect to humans. But for us, he's a human that lived 2,000 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
So it is still hard for us to connect. So.
And in such a different context and culture and time and all of the things, like I say this with a caveat, knowing that you can be close to God, Jesus, but he feels at times quite removed.
Yeah.
I'm really pumped to kind of unpack that one, to tell you the truth. I think that's, well, I'm glad it's the third and final.
Yeah, yeah.
Just to leave us hanging. Awesome. Great. Well, cannot wait. There's only one thing missing, and that is Roxanne Lawler. So let's get her in. Roxy, welcome to the Big Three this week.
Hey, great to be here with you guys. Thanks
great
for
to
having
have
me.
Yeah, always. Yeah. I'm just wondering, like, you know, obviously the idea of the revelation of God is no small topic. As you kind of prepped for your message and kind of read up on Psalm 19, like what stood out for you? What did you kind of, what was your takeaway?
Yeah. I think when I read this initially, the thing that sort of struck me is it seems to be almost three different psalms sort of stitched together in one, but I don't actually think it is. I think it is deliberately one psalm. And so for me to read through it, it sort of jumped from the stars and then into the law and then into have a look at my heart and then, yeah, it, kind of a plea for God to make it all good and right. And yeah. And so it was finding the line through that psalm where I sort of, that word revelation came into mind. And I'm not obviously the first person to look at the psalm in this way, but but it just really helped me understand, actually, no, God really does reveal himself in these really significant ways. And for me, Psalm 19 is just sort of encapsulates that. It's like a little microcosm of how God reveals himself through, you know, the natural creation, through his written word, you know, the need in our hearts, and ultimately through Jesus. I don't know if I answered your question, but that's kind of the journey
it.
That I went on.
Which makes sense because that was the journey you took us on in your message.
Yeah, very clear.
So, well done. Well, let's get into the big three.
Absolutely.
Let's do it.
So, Rox, one of your, as you kind of unpacked for us this psalm and particularly that first section around the wordless word and God revealing himself through creation. You had this beautiful imagery around a dark sky and the need for a dark sky to see the heavens in their fullness. But that, you know, living in Sydney in 2020, we just flood the sky with all kinds of pollution, including light pollution. And so we don't get to see it that much. And I thought that was a beautiful metaphor for our lives. And that is ultimately what kind of stems our first question stems from that. What are the distractions that believers are facing that end up overwhelming us with noise or that light pollution stopping us from seeing the full declaration of God.
Yeah. Wow. I think a lot of it has to do with the speed that we live at these days. Like, we live really jam-packed lives. You know, we try and cram as much in as humanly possible. And I wonder if in our desire to see our lives be so amazing and so full, we have almost edged God out a little bit. And so when you think about, you know, the God of the universe, the one who created every cell in your body and every star in the sky and everything in between, actually wants to communicate to you, to talk to you, to talk to me, and to know us and to have us know him. I mean, that is no small thing. That is miraculous. That is amazing. And my response to God being, you know, wanting to talk to me should actually be, everybody else shut up but God, you know, like everybody else. Nothing is as important as God wants to spend time with me, you know. Like, that's just, that's a mind-blowing, like, that God actually wants to talk to you and for you to know him. I mean, people around the world would just, you know, people have died for the opportunity to get to know God, but here we have this opportunity to do that. But even though that's our reality, like, we still allow, you know, the weeds, you know, think of the parable of the, you know, the sower that sows the seeds, you know, we still allow the weeds to come up and choke us and the, you know, life just to take us away from that. So I think maybe one of our values of being here at GBC is to be on purpose, so to be deliberate in what we do. Maybe we need to just get some guts and be deliberate and carve out time for God. Because it's, distractions aren't going to end, right? They're never going to stop. I think we can all just get that memo now. I need to get that memo. You know, there's always going to be Twitter. There's always going to be social media. There's always going to be, you know, oh, look at that, you know, random thing I have to do, or there's my to-do list. But unless I deliberately carve out that space and time to allow God to talk to me and for me to worship him, which is my creative purpose, then I'm never going to grow in my relationship with God, and I'm never going to allow him to make the changes in my life that he wants to change, because I'm just, you know, I'm just hanging around in the weeds instead of going into, you know, the deep forest, the good growth with God. You know, it's just, I'm wasting time here. I'm spending my time on stuff that's meaningless.
Yeah, and in your sermon you mentioned double screening, which I like that term. I think even single screening is part of that, the noise that is distracting us, isn't it? I mean, I have terrible self-control, but I've recently sort of started running at night. That's my thing. I'm lucky to live near the beach, but I've always got my earphones in listening to an audiobook or a song or a podcast. The Big Three podcast.
Free plug.
Exclusively. But I had this moment of, I'm like literally running next to, you know, crashing waves and I've got the stars, above me, like incredible evidence of God, but I'm still distracting myself the whole time. I still have my earphones, but I've made a conscious effort recently to just have 5 minutes of it without those headphones, like hearing the waves. And I've even started, which is funnily enough, to look at the stars, started bringing my glasses in my back pocket so I can put my glasses on, because otherwise I can't see anything, but to see the stars or whatever the moon is showing at that time. But I think it, you know, going on with what you're saying about just constantly being busy, and sure, our lives, we are forced to be busy in the way the world is, but we do it, we put it on ourselves. We can't go a train ride. You know, if I don't have my headphones with me on a train ride, I freak out. Or if my phone's running out of battery, you know, we all freak out. So it's self-inflicted as well as a result of our culture.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good, Lex. It's so true.
Yeah, I think that that whole that busyness and that that push to fill our time, I think it does come down to priorities. I think so often the things of our day-to-day, of our world, you know, whether it be work, study, relationships, whatever it is, they're so in our face and they're so demanding of our time that we feel at times forced to prioritize them. Or maybe even better yet, it's easier to prioritize them because they're there and they're immediate and I can see and touch and experience it then and there. But, you know... we know that we're called to prioritize God. We know that that's a spiritual practice that can take many shapes and forms, but regardless is imperative for our own personal growth.
Yeah.
But I've got to admit, like, you know, and I think I've said this before in the Big Three, but like, I work in a church. I'm paid to be here 5 days a week and do ministry and ultimately focus on what God wants to do in our church community and in our wider community. And yet I can still fall into the immediacy of priorities outside of God. You know, the everyday tasks to keep the ball rolling and the wheel turning and the services coming out and the programs running. And I can quite easily get to the end of the week and be like, oh, like, sure, I read the Bible, but I did it in the context of outlining a sermon series for our youth, or hey, yeah, I prayed, but it was because I was praying for someone. But have I ever actually prioritized my own personal?
Yeah, which is so important, man, isn't it? And you talk about the priority there. But part of me wonders, what's the need in our heart? What's the need in our soul where we look at those priorities and decide that? I mean, sometimes I think with my busyness, I think I actually enjoy being busy, and there's a sense of kind of almost perverted pride in it. Oh, I'm so busy and important, you know. Mm. Oh, I'm too busy for this, you know. you know, because that feels, I think, a need in me to feel important and to feel like that's like in modern life, that's valued. If you're busy, you're valuable. You're a productive member of society, and that's some sort of hole in you that's speaking into, right? Mm. A need, a deep need. Whereas really my ultimate deep need, obviously, you know I'm going to go with this, don't you, is for the Lord, right? Mm. And so I wonder if we did carve out and we were deliberate and prioritized, as you say, the time with God, whether that ultimate deep need would be filled. And then so it's almost like a deep soul heart issue that, you know, spending time with God, that God-shaped hole in our heart's going to be filled so everything else just gets its proper place.
Mm.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I think it's that classic thing of, you know, instant gratification, because I think so often we can kind of go, oh, like, you know, God's eternal, he'll always be there, so I can just like tackle that one later. And again, it's that, you know, we talked about screens and how we're now programmed and conditioned to, they release all kinds of drugs in our brain and make us feel good about ourselves. And it's that instant gratification. If I tick this thing off my list, if I meet up with this person now, if I do this task, I'll feel good, I'll feel important, I'll feel valued. But again, that's all fleeting. That's all really superficial. And sometimes we need to remind ourselves that we're playing the long game.
Yeah.
You know, this is a long race. It's going to take our full life. And so, you know, there will be times where there are other things competing for our attention and for our time. And, but actually we need to be, prioritizing God and not just putting him on the shelf for when we've got time, because the truth of the matter is we never will.
Yeah, we will never have time for God.
No.
So, and we need to carve it out and as you say, Lex, you know, take the headphones out, listen to the waves, you know, crashing on the ocean. That's a good thing.
Mm.
And as a creative person, I know you're going to be aware of this, but if you have space in your life, if you have time for boredom, I mean, that's where creativity is born, right?
Mm.
That's where every creative space comes from. You're not going to get creative, you know, getting fed. It's, you know, when there's a need and when you've just got open mental blank white space, that's where you're like, ooh, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
And that's where I think God also speaks to us also through our creativity and through those ideas that we have.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that desire to be bored again. I mean, I think about as a kid, you know, we didn't have as many screens at home. And you remember as a kid being bored, like saying, Mom, I'm bored.
Yeah.
And like, no one says that anymore. No one says I'm bored. Everyone's, I'm too busy. But it's funny. I'm a high school teacher, and the exam supervision is the dread of all teachers, because it's, you know, you're not allowed to take any devices in with you. You're not allowed to talk. You know, you're just waiting for someone to put their hand up for a tissue. You know, yes, I'll get there first. You know, it's this bizarre experience, but I actually love it. Cause I'm like, this opportunity to be bored again. And it's so good. And I can't look. I probably should use that time to connect with God, but I don't. I'm just playing different games, but looking at the clock and trying to guess when a minute will be, you know, I'm getting better at it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm about 10 seconds off anyway. But you know, it's that exactly what you're saying, that desire to be bored again. Mm. And that's when creativity comes. That's when probably, not that I'm very good at it, but that's when you'll connect with God, I think. That's the noise. And to go out with your metaphor, what's the national park called?
The Dark Sky National Park.
The Dark Sky National Park, you know, our spiritual Dark Sky National Park is probably boredom, is being away from the phone or not thinking about what, you know, the billion other things you have to do for uni or work or whatever.
No, that's good. It's good. And boredom or just open space, just allowing God to speak into it, you know. But yeah, that's a good word.
Awesome. Well, let's move on to question two.
Okay, question number two. What does it look like to enter a spiritual connection with God where we not only hear but understand his voice?
Yeah, that's a good one. I like that, the spiritual connection with God piece. Because, you know, often we think we can have a spiritual connection with God, but maybe we're connecting with something else, like we might be connecting with a worship song, or which is fine. We can encounter God through worship songs. Don't hear me say that. But how do we connect in with God? And I think there's a variety of different ways. And how do we enter that that spiritual Dark Sky National Park? Can I dive into the spiritual national dark sky?
Yeah,
okay,
please.
Beautiful.
I mean,
all right, let's go
you're
there.
In the hot seat.
I think for me, what that represents is hearing God's voice is when you deliberately carve out, make space, make time for God to speak to you. And whether that's for me, I actually find that really happens through walking, through movement or driving. I have to be moving. There's something about moving that you're allowing God to speak to you. Or even if I've been praying over something, and this is just my hot tips here, if I've been praying over something or wrestling with something in the scripture, and my brain kind of goes onto overdrive in some respects, and it's like the wheels are spinning, but we don't have a lot of traction, so I'm not going anywhere. It's just like a little, you know, hamster wheel kind
the
of
colourful
spinning.
Wheel
the
on, colourful, on your Mac
yeah, the spinning wheel of death happens
working.
In my brain. Yeah. And so I get
spinny
sort
of
stuck.
Of
yeah, that's it. I get that in my head. And so the way I kind of reboot the system, so to speak, is to go for a walk or do something physical or just do something mindless like wash up, weed the garden, you know, clean out a drawer or whatever. And the action of doing that actually triggers something in my mind and stops the spinning wheel of death. In there and then God actually has a word or a thought or speaks to me in those ways. So rather than me sitting and trying to force me to listen to God's voice, if I spend time praying over it, I've soaked in the scripture, I've done my reading, I'm wrestling with something that God has said, and then I kind of just go and do something, every now and then I'll just hear this little whisper of the Holy Spirit, just something will just land on me. It's like I don't know, like you can't chase a butterfly and catch it, but you can be still long enough that it will land on you, right? That's kind of how the Spirit works a little bit with me. So I don't know. The other thing is how do we hear God's voice? There's this great passage in 1 Kings where Elijah is trying to hear God, and God reveals himself to Elijah and he says, stand on this mountain. You probably have heard this story. It's kind of a famous Bible story. And God says, I'm going to pass by you, Elijah. And Elijah's waiting. And then God passes by in this massive storm and thunder and lightning. And Elijah's like, that's God. But it's not God. and then the earthquake comes and you go, oh, that must be God. And that's not God. But then finally God comes past and it's really quiet and gentle and peaceful. And it's described as a still small voice. And that's where Elijah finds the revelation of God, just in those quiet moments. And so I think for us, we need to be listening out for those quiet moments, those butterflies landing on us, the voice of the Spirit. And it's not often the giant voice from the sky. It's often in the small, the still, the unexpected places. So I don't know if that's helpful for
I love that, because, again, I think what we're dealing with here is you know, again, I'm kind of brought back to the, you know, we're so busy. So when we do carve out that time for God, we kind of expect everything to happen in that moment.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
hey, Jesus, I got 30 minutes.
I got 30 for you. Like, clock's ticking,
yeah,
Lord.
Yeah, mate. Like, come on, let's do this. So I love the idea of kind of, you know, and you know, and it's biblical. Like, it's right that we kind of, we do spend time in the Word and reflecting on who God is and how he reveals himself in that, that we do spend some time in prayer and praise and worship, just kind of opening ourselves up and submitting our, you know, our plights, our situations, our hopes and dreams to God. But then, like, you know, God's, and this is such a Christian cliche and we get told it all the time, but I think we really forget it. Like, God has his own timing. Mm. And so it seems right that we just kind of give that to God and then just wait. And in his own time, he will reveal what he wants to reveal when he wants to reveal it.
Yeah.
And again, we need to stop rushing ourselves. We definitely need to stop rushing God in that space. But to go, like, just a bit deeper with your rocks, because I think, you know, something that's come up for in Slido a number of times is, how do we know what we're hearing is actually God?
Yeah.
It's a question that's got to have been raised like a dozen times. And it clearly seems to be a point of tension for a lot of people, of like, oh, like, is this me? Is this just the meal that I had last night? Or, like, you know, or is this the Holy Spirit?
Yeah, is this the liver shiver? Or is it the Spirit of God?
A little from column A, a little from column B. So, like, you know, whether it's from your own experience or your own reading, your own discernment, how do we, when we do hear that silent whisper, how do we discern that it is God?
I think that will be different for different people. Mm. And I think that's probably one of the difficulties we have in answering this question, because it is different for different people. But there's a few frameworks or, I don't know, a few ways that we can sort of know that it is God. Mm. Firstly, I think we need to know the character of God to know if it sounds like him. Mm. You can, like, I know my husband pretty well. And so if he says something, I know that it's aligned with his character. I know that, you know, like, my husband would say things in a really calm and methodical. He's the opposite of me, FYI. boys. But if he suddenly started talking super fast and, you know, coming up with metaphors, I'd be like, that's not right. That's not sure who you are. And so I think the overriding framework is it's got to fit in with the character of God, what we know about God. And what we know about God is revealed to us through the scriptures and through Christ. Mm. So God's never, like, you know this, but God's never going to say anything that sort of contradicts scripture. So obviously we listen to God and we bounce that off through the scripture, and also just the counsel of others, like other Christians who we trust and believe. Like, if you think that God's saying something to you, then talk to your spiritual mentor or your you know, someone who's journeyed with the Lord a little bit longer than you. And if you don't have a mentor, then maybe just grab one, because there's heaps of saints in our church, Matt, who would absolutely love the opportunity to sow into the life of young people. So, I don't know if I've just sort of given someone an idea out there, but if this is you and you are listening and you're thinking, you know what, I think I hear the voice of God wanting me to become a mentor for a younger person, then yes, I will confirm to you that this is the voice of God. Nah, just joking, it's me. But when we are listening to God, it is really handy to have somebody who's been around, who can affirm that in us and confirm it with us. So for me, when I first asked God, should I go into ministry, I had a couple of things. I had a dissatisfaction with where I was, and it was a holy dissatisfaction. So I describe it as being I was doing a thing and it was fine. Like, what I was doing was fine. There's nothing wrong with it. But there was a dissatisfaction in my spirit, and God was stirring me up. And I was like, does this align with who I am? Does this align with my gifting, my skill, who I think God's called me to be, my interests? Because actually God does take into account our passions and our interests. And then an opportunity arose and I was like, oh, okay, look at that. That's over there. And for me, listening to God's voice, sometimes God will call me out of something into what I think is where he's heading. only to do a bait and switch and move me somewhere else entirely. So
sneaky
if I'm
Jesus.
In sneaky Jesus, sometimes if I'm at like point A and God says, I think point B looks good, I'll be like, yeah. And he'll lift me up out of point A to get me to point B, only to move me to point C. Now, I know me and I think I know the way God works with me. There is no way on God's green earth that I would have moved from point A to point C. Like, I just wouldn't have made that quantum leap, that jump. But when God works with me, he gives me a dissatisfaction with where I'm at, a stirring in my spirit, an awareness of my gifting, my passions, what I'm interested in, and then raises something up.
Yeah,
that is, I go, oh, that looks good. Okay, there. Only to go, ha-cha. And there I am in point C, going, this is the best. I never would have done this, God, unless you had raised me up. So how do I know that's God? I think for me it's aligning with God's character. It's kingdom purpose. It's using my gifts and skills for the kingdom. How are we gonna, see the kingdom come on earth? Is it something that God is in? Is it something that's, godly and true and right and proper? Are other people confirming those gifts, those skills, that calling in my life? And also sometimes I just need to not overthink things and not be afraid of the challenge.
Yeah.
If God's pushing me out of my comfort zone, it's because he wants me out of my comfort zone. He wants to stretch me, pull me and make me more of him.
Yeah, I think that's interesting, the not overthink things. I think when we're looking at what does it look like to have a spiritual connection with God, it's often not putting pressure on ourselves to experience something huge. When I was younger, sort of early adulthood, I know I'm kind of still in early adulthood, but when I was like 18, I went through this phase of frustration, like I don't experience I've thought I had a spiritual connection with God, but other people talk about these big, dramatic sort of experiences of God, feeling these epic moments in worship and things like that. And I started getting really frustrated, like, why don't I get that? Being somebody who loves music, I actually started feeling it most in worship. I felt really frustrated that I didn't have these connection moments with God. I wasn't hearing God's voice through the music, maybe because I've got a good understanding of music, and I started getting frustrated. Like, I would experience God in a Coldplay song that uses the same chord progression as this one, or, in any pop song that uses this chord progression. I started getting frustrated and have this strange phase of my life where I didn't like worship music anymore, and I was just frustrated at God for not giving me this huge spiritual connection. And then I started just, instead of yearning for this moment with a big storm, or to use the example of Elijah, or a big earthquake, I was like, okay, music is really cool. It's a similar experience when I look at the stars. Stars are really cool. It blows my mind. It blows my mind that there are certain notes, that when played together sound amazing. And it blows my mind that the stars are suns in other galaxies and solar systems. That stuff blows my mind, and it's beyond what my brain can handle. And then I start experiencing God through those sort of moments of, I think, sorry to bring it back, it's that not putting pressure on yourselves to hear God's booming voice. If it's just you pondering, that can be a spiritual connection with God. And I think in terms of understanding his voice, it's going to be hard. David says, understanding his voice, look at the stars, but that's not exactly his voice. Read his word, but that's not really exactly his voice. It's going to be hard to understand his voice, but just be open to experience it in however, even the tiny little ways, and don't be afraid to you know, God can speak to us through our brain. Don't be afraid of, I think too often we get caught up on, I think that's just my subconscious telling me that.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, I mean, just go with it. If it aligns with what God's word says, or, you know, as Roxy said, if you run it by somebody at church and they say, that sounds like a mad idea, then, you know, go for it. And worst, you know, God's not going to say, oh, that wasn't my voice, you're in big trouble now. He's going to say, you're trying to follow me. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's the well done, you know, good and faithful servant piece. Yeah.
So just don't, I think sometimes we put pressure on ourselves about the spiritual connection with God. That we have to be speaking in tongues and lying on the floor. But you know, you can experience it in tiny ways.
Mm.
And you can experience it in a Coldplay song.
Yeah.
Or in Sydney, where we can't see the stars very well.
Yeah, no, that's really good, Lex. And I think that's a good challenge for people, is to just give it a crack. Like, lean into that, exactly. And what is the worst thing that can happen? I mean, if you, like, even if God says a simple thing, like, you know what, you should go and check on your neighbor today. Like, I've had that happen. God's, you know, and just for me, I describe it as a pressing. And I don't know how to describe it to other people, but when I hear God's voice, it's like a thought that won't go away, and it's like God's pressing on me, like continually just sort of, you know, tapping my shoulder or just pressing something into my spirit. You should do this. You should do that.
Mm.
Well, you know, you can go check on your neighbor. And in the end, I just go, okay, I'll do it. And then I do it, and I find that, yeah, actually it was a God thing. Mm. So lean in to that pressing if you hear it. So if it's, hey, you know what, you should maybe buy coffee for that person that's behind you in the line. And you can, like, you know, not if it's going to, you know, tip you over into poverty or anything, but, you know, like if you can do that, well, then
Sydney prices.
Yeah,
for coffee,
well, actually, you know, yeah, absolutely. Buy a house, buy a coffee, I don't know. But, you know, those little tiny moments, that's a really good way to practice listening to the voice of God, where it's low risk, but kind of almost high reward, because you're like, yeah, actually, I think that was your voice. And even if it wasn't, it's nothing bad. Like, you know, drop off a liter of milk for somebody, or, you know, make the phone call. I had one like that actually once, where God was pressing on me. Someone had texted me and said, I need to talk to you. And God pressed on me so hard, and I was driving. And I saw the text. This was a long time ago, FYI.
Just pre
the looking at the text driving laws. And so
before it was dangerous to do that.
Before it was dangerous to do that, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. There you go. Should have been listening to God more. Anyway, so I did. I ended up pulling over and rang her right then, and we made an appointment to see one another. And at that very next appointment, she said, I want to become a Christian, I want to follow Jesus.
Oh, wow.
And that pressing was so strong that I literally pulled over on the side of a busy road and went, for some reason, I had no idea what she was going to say. I know I needed to get back to her. So follow them, because, you know, God might be in it.
And I think what I love about that is we need to be comfortable with the fact that sometimes we might get affirmation beforehand. Like in that situation, it sounds very much like you were like, nah, this needs to happen. This is definitely from God. But the buying someone a coffee, you know, you may not get affirmation that was God
at all.
Ever. And we kind of got to be okay with that. Again, you know, you mentioned the parable of the sower.
Yeah.
Like, just throw the seeds. Like, just chuck them and, you know, let them fall where they may and, like, just be willing to lean into that.
And knowing his word, we know that buying a coffee for the person behind us is you know, it agrees with his law. It agrees with, if we look at, you know, what Jesus said, it's loving our neighbors as we would like to be loved.
Like to be loved with coffee.
I like to be loved with coffee, exactly. So, yeah, there's absolutely no harm as long as we are, you know, and that's why it's good to be familiar with his word.
Right? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Amen. All right. Well, let's move on to question three. Well, Rox, to wrap up in our third and final question, you kind of wrapped up your message with this fourth word that wasn't kind of really in the psalm but was important, and it was around viewing the psalm through the lens of Jesus, and that he is kind of, well, he is not kind of, he definitely is the full revelation of God. How do we have that full revelation of God through Jesus, when at times our experience of him, our experience of Jesus, is one that we can't necessarily see, touch, or hear?
Yeah, yeah. It's a great question. It is a good question.
I thought so. That's why it's in the big three.
It's also really hard, so thanks. look, I think when you look at scripture as a whole, you know, from, you know, the garden to the city, you know, God is constantly trying to reveal who he is and trying to bring us back into that relationship with him. And it's only when we get to Jesus that we can really make, that I can really make sense of the Old Testament and the law and the scriptures. And then I look at it, as we said earlier, through the lens of Christ, where it makes sense. But when we actually read the Gospels and we read about Jesus, I mean, this is such a polarizing figure. Like, this person has arrived on earth and they are literally saying that they are God themselves, you know, the incarnation, God in a bod, you know, so to speak. And so what
is, like, a slogan for a
God
gym.
God in a bod. It does, doesn't it? Not really ripped.
Just for $49.95 a month.
but that's what Jesus claims. He claims to be God. And you've got to do something with that as somebody who's reading the Gospels. You can either think that he's a complete lunatic and he maybe needs to be, you know, institutionalized, or you can actually sort of think, okay, well, maybe he really is who he says he is. So for me, reading the Gospels in particular, I look at how Jesus reacted to those around him to inform my understanding of his humanity and his divinity. So I look at Jesus in context. Mm. And so, yeah, it is hard for us because we can't follow after him the same way that his disciples actually literally followed him down the road. Mm. But we can see how he interacts with people. And one of the interesting things, I think, is Thomas after the resurrection. You know, the doubting Thomas. We always hear about good old doubting Thomas.
He made one mistake and he has copped a name for history.
I know.
It's like the worst apostle.
I know. Poor doubting Thomas. But I'm totally on team Thomas, right? Because I actually think that it was good that he did that, because, you know, he'd heard the stories and he'd heard the report of the women saying the body's gone, you know, he's appeared, and he'd heard the other disciples, and he was like, no, you know what, I want to test this out for myself, you know. Mm. I want to touch, I want to feel, I want to, you know, do whatever. And Jesus then appears to Thomas, and he doesn't sort of slap him upside the head and go, you freak, what are you doing? You know, he's actually really gracious to Thomas, and he said, here, you know, here's my hand, touch my side. Mm. I am here, as you see, I'm no ghost, I'm Christ resurrected in the flesh, Thomas. Mm. And he's so gracious. And I feel like that's an invitation for us as well, that Jesus is actually saying, take this out for a test drive. You know, I am real. Mm. I am the resurrected Christ. You can ask me questions. You can talk to me. You can touch me and experience me. Now, we do that through reading the Bible, through prayer, and through seeing him at work in his people and in the world. But I don't think there's anything wrong with having that Thomas mentality of, actually, I really want to test this out. Mm. You know, I want to see if it works. I want to poke it and, you know, see what wobbles kind of thing. I actually think that's is faith. Now, Jesus obviously does go on and say after Thomas, he says, you know, you've believed because you've touched me and see. And he then says, blessed are those who believe even though they haven't seen me, which is us, right?
Yeah.
So Jesus is actually calling us blessed that we believe in him even though we haven't actually had the full Thomas experience. But I think living this side of the ascension, give it, ask Jesus, you know, ask him, reveal yourself to me, God, I'm reading your scriptures. I want to see how is it you're working in my life and the life of those around me. Where can I see you at work? Mm. And that way Jesus becomes tangible to us. Yeah.
But I think that is a tension that a lot of us experience. I know I have myself, that whole how do I make Jesus tangible to me in my context? I think, you know, you even mentioned, you know, Jesus is the full revelation of God. He's not just a painting on the wall.
Yeah.
But I actually think over the last 2,000 years, because we have become more and more removed from the context and the culture in which Jesus lived, he's become a bit more of a painting on the wall. And you know, I've struggled at times with the process of bringing him out of that painting and bringing him back into my worldly context. And I mean, I don't have an answer. I'm just throwing out the problem more so. But like, I remember, and this is such a, this is such a whatever example, but I remember watching the movie The Shack.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I do love Octavia Spencer as God. She was amazing, but I'm not necessarily saying that this was a phenomenal movie. But I do remember the depiction of Jesus being, you know, hipster Jesus, like in his flannel and skinny jeans, and, you know, he was just chopping up wood for the fireplace. And I just, weirdly, as I watched this movie, I was like, actually, that's a really helpful way of just, in a small, minute way, bringing Jesus into my context, that I can just kind of picture him, not in the robes, like not in the Jesus sandals, although I'm sure he'd rock some Birks.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, you know, just helping bring him into my world.
Yeah.
And I think that is a tension that a lot of us, and I'm projecting now, but I'm assuming it's a tension that a lot of us experience. Like, how do we take the Jesus of Scripture,
The historical
Jesus. Yes, and bring him into our world to make him more tangible? Because I think we're all craving that. But it's not a...
I'm not going to like my answer, Matt.
Okay, but I'm ready for it.
You're ready for it.
Yeah.
I actually think that we are meant to be the image of Jesus to the world around us.
So I'm meant to be hipster Jesus?
You got to buy some Birks. More Birks.
I've not got on the Birk train.
Well, I do think that, you know, like that, you know, like we're about to do a series called Plan A because there's no Plan B for the church, right? So, Jesus was God walking around, showing the character and the nature of God, the ultimate sacrifice, you know, the resurrection, the ascension, you know, like defeating death, winning the battle. And now he said, okay, now it's you. You now are the temple of God, you know, like in the Old Testament, that's, you know, they met God in the temple. Jesus is kind of like the ultimate, you know, temple. He is the sacrifice. Yep. He is the everything, you know, he's the priest, the prophet, the king, the lamb that was sacrificed. And now we bear that. We are the ones who are supposed to be tangible representations of this Jesus walking around and doing as Jesus did, you know, as the Father sent me, I have sent you, which is that almost the motto of our church,
it's the
right?
GBC catchphrase,
it's the GBC. Yeah. We need the merch for that. So I don't know. That's kind of what it looks like. And there are people, and you can probably think about people that you know, who just epitomize Jesus Christ to you, who are so spiritually connected, but also so loving and so others focused, so kind and so caring and so gentle. They're full of the fruit of the Spirit. Do you know what I mean? You've probably got someone absolutely. In your mind right now that you're thinking of that is Jesus to you. I think that's how we do Jesus.
I think I really like that sort of challenge of, well, we're meant to be the representation of Jesus for other people. But I think for me, you know, I will admit I like struggle with doubt all the time. And I remember my dad would preach at my old church. And I remember him doing a sermon once when I was probably a teenager about doubt and how important doubt is in his faith. And he was very smart. He was a scientist, you know, had his PhD in physics, which is often, you know, seen as not being
conducive.
With Christianity. And he got up there and talked about his doubts, and it was so powerful for me. And so I remember I have this sense, particularly when talking to, you know, my friends who don't have relationships with Jesus. And they say, "Oh, how do you know Jesus is real?" And you know, I could lend them that book that I've read or that documentary series that Carl Faze made. Did he? I don't know.
Yeah,
somebody
sure,
made.
I'm sure
yeah.
he did.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, there's ways I can probably try and prove it. But you know, honestly, I don't know. I didn't see it. Often it sounds bad, but I'll take out the spiritual elements. I'll say, okay, what do I know? I know that Jesus exists as a story for me for now in the Gospels, and Jesus exists. And what is that story? It's about a guy who lived the right way. I read that story, everything Jesus did from sort of testing the ways that the law was being interpreted at the time, to just loving everybody no matter what. Everything he did in that story is so good. So if in terms of, you know, we can't see, touch or hear him, we can read about him and just say, look, there's somebody who lived life perfectly. And he was human. He struggled. He even struggled with, you know, in Gethsemane, right? He was struggling.
Yeah, in the garden.
He was struggling as he was praying about, you know, why do I have to
take this cup from me? I don't want to. Yeah.
Like, he struggled and he was tempted and all that, but he lived perfectly. And so even if, you know, it's 2,000 years ago, it's hard to grasp. And, you know, we can look at people in our lives who represent him, but, you know, just if to take that first step, all you can do, if you really struggle with your doubts, just take it as a story for now. And learn to just look at it as a beautiful representation of what living like God is. And then, you know, and then I think that connection with Jesus, I'm looking at that question again, that experience of seeing, touching, hearing him. And as you, it's Thomas sort of said to poke at his
stick your finger in my wounds, Thomas. It's not sanitary.
I think that sort of comes as we sort of first of all accept it as a beautiful story, and then start accepting it as a person, and then a spiritual being.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Rader actually talks about the concept of that. The early church fathers used to say, Ambula Salvadori, this
Latin
thing.
You're looking at me as if I should know.
You should know this. He says it all the time. He's going to listen to this and laugh and get tell me what the pronunciation is. But the expression is, it's solved by walking.
Oh,
you remember that? He says it in Latin.
I'm sorry, I don't know the Latin.
Sorry, we don't know it. We'll get matching tattoos. But it's solved by walking. You know, sometimes you just got to give it a go, right? You just got to give it a crack and, you know, you literally got to walk it out, which is, I kind of think what you're saying is look, read the Gospels, just read it and then gradually, you know, you're going to see it come, you know, if Jesus is real and if Jesus is true, which I do believe he is, he's actually going to then enter into your world in ways if you're watching for him, you know. Jesus says, you know, the scriptures say, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you.
Nice. Awesome. I feel like there's been so much that we've kind of unpacked today, which I've really loved. But to tell you the truth, I think the thing that I've loved the most is just kind of acknowledging the difficulty of this.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I know for me walking into church for the very first time as like a 19-year-old, I was just like, man, everyone's just got this down pat. But it's been really refreshing in not just today, but in my life in church, having people kind of go, no, this is tough. And, you know, it's going to take me a lifetime to get this and I may not get it.
Yeah.
But thankfully God's gracious. And yeah, so just thanks heaps, Rox, for your vulnerability and your realness and
pleasure.
The fact that you've thought this through way more than I have.
No, not at all. But no, it's a pleasure to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
Right on. All right, Lexman. So much in the big three today. I don't know, like coming out of it for you, what's your take home? Was anything discussed today that has maybe changed your mind or your perspective on something, your approach to something?
Yeah, I think I was challenged. I think we, particularly our generation and generations below, we're pretty sick of just hearing, stop looking at your phone or things like that. But I really was challenged with, you know, I felt like a hero that I could give myself 5 minutes on my run to just be alone with God. Well, not even just stare at the stars or listen to the waves. But I think I was challenged with that concept of putting a time limit on it. It was like, hey, God, speak to me in this 5 minutes. Otherwise, you know,
I'm out.
Yeah. Otherwise I'm putting the big three back on. But yeah, I think I was challenged again to be bored, be okay with not hearing him if it's not in that time frame that I've given him, but giving him more time.
Yeah, nice.
What about you?
I find it difficult to just lean in to something if I haven't been able to like get the full picture beforehand. Like I like to know everything, cross my T's and dot my I's before I commit. And so I think that's going to be a huge challenge for me, is to actually just allow myself to move into a space or move into an invitation when I don't know how it's going to go. I don't have that clear affirmation if this is God or this is just me thinking it's God. And just, I think it's important that I get comfortable with that. Mm. Get comfortable with the fact that I might not get affirmation until after the fact, or that I might not get affirmation at all. But I'm reminded of something Rader said or has said a number of times, which is like, God's not going to get angry at you for reflecting him in the wrong place. Mm. Like, oh, you know, I really didn't want you to give that person a cup of coffee. Yeah, like, right. It was two people back in the line. Like, seriously.
Yeah.
Like, I think he's just going to, and I think you said it, it's like, you know, you're clearly seeking to follow me, yeah, and you've got the heart and the desire to lean into that and have that faith. Mm. Even if you've got doubts, even if you're uncertain, even if you're, if you don't feel fully prepared. And I think that's, yeah, that's something that I struggle with.
I totally agree. I think that spiritual connection with God can't really be achieved. We, you know, as humans, we want to know everything. Mm. We want to know exactly the plan. We want to know what's happening. But I actually don't think we can get a spiritual connection with God if we're relying on what we know.
Yeah.
It's about losing yourself in what you don't know.
Mm.
You know, like, and that's why looking up at the stars for me, or trying to analyze music for me is such an important part of connecting with God, is because I'm never going to work that out. And even scientists who have gone, you know, have made incredible discoveries,
yep,
about the astronomy, they still don't know what black matter is. They still, mm, don't know what dark matter is. Sorry, they still don't know where black holes really go. And we might discover something more about it, but just more questions come up. And so God is in the unknown, I think.
Yeah, I love that. Well, Lex, man, thanks so much for joining us on the Big Three today. First of many, I dare say.
Let's do it. Next school holidays.
He says in faith. Well, if you want to be a part of the conversation, make sure that you join us for our services this Sunday at gbconline.org.au, and that you snap the Slido QR code before the sermon to get involved. If you've enjoyed the Big Three today, take the time to give a star rating and be sure to subscribe so that you can stay up to date with all future episodes. Well, thanks for joining us for this week's Big Three and our deep dive into God's invitation for us all. Remember, there's no thought too small, no question too big.